దైవీహేష గుణమయీ మమ మాయా దురాత్తయ మామేవ జే ప్రపద్యంతే మయా మే తాం తరాంతితే దైవీహేష గుణమయీ మమ మాయా దురాత్తయ మామేవ జే ప్రపద్యంతే This divine energy of mind, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has innumerable energies, and all these energies are divine. Although the living entities are part of His energies and are therefore divine, due to contact with the material energy, their original superior power is covered. During this, being thus covered by material energy, one cannot possibly overcome its influence. As previously said, both the material and spiritual natures, being emanations from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are eternal. The living entities belong to the eternal superior nature of the Lord. But due to contamination by the inferior nature, their illusion is also eternal. The conditioned soul is therefore called Nitya Badha, or eternally conditioned. No one can trace out the history of his beginning condition. At a certain date in material history, consequently his release from the clutches of material nature is very difficult, even though the material nature is an inferior energy. Because material nature is ultimately conducted by the Supreme Will, which the living entity cannot overcome. Inferior material nature is defined herein as divine nature due to its divine connection and movement by the divine will. Being conducted by divine will, the material nature, although inferior, acts so wonderfully in the construction and destruction of the cosmic manifestation. The Vedas confirm this as follows. Mayam tu prakritang vidyan Mayinam tu Maheshwaram. Although Maya illusion is false or temporary, the background of Maya is the Supreme Magician, the Personality of Godhead, who is Maheshwara, the Supreme Controller. Shaita Swatam Upanishad 4.10. Another meaning of guna is rope. It is to be understood that the conditioned soul is tightly tied by the ropes of illusion. A man bound by the hands and feet cannot free himself. He must be helped by a person who is unbound. Because the bound cannot help the bound. The rescuer must be liberated. Therefore, only Lord Krishna or his bona fide representative, the spiritual master, can release the conditioned soul. Without such superior help, one cannot be freed from the bondage of material nature. Devotional service or Krishna consciousness can help one gain such release. Krishna, being the Lord of the illusory energy, can order this insurmountable energy to release the conditioned soul. He orders this release out of his causeless mercy on the surrendered soul, and out of his paternal affection for the living entity, who is originally a beloved son of the Lord. Therefore, surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord is the only means to get free from the clutches of the stringent material nature. The words Mameva are also significant. Mam means unto Krishna, Vishnu only, and not Brahma or Shiva. Although Brahma and Shiva are greatly elevated and are almost on the level of Krishna, it is not possible for such incarnation of Rajaguna, passion, and Tamaguna to release the conditioned soul from the clutches of Maya. In other words, both Brahma and Shiva are also under the influence of Maya. Only Vishnu is the master of Maya. Therefore, he alone can give release to the conditioned soul. The Veda, Svetasvatara Upanishad 3, confirm this in the phrase Tam Eva Viditva, or freedom is possible only by understanding Krishna. Even Lord Shiva affirms that liberation can be achieved only by the mercy of Vishnu. Lord Shiva says, Mukti Pradata Sarvesham Vishnur Eva Nasangsaya. There's no doubt that Vishnu is the deliverer of liberation for everyone. Thus ends Bhaktivedanta Swami translation purport to chapter 7, text 14. Of Bhagavad Gita as it is. Daiviye shagunamayi mamamaya mayataya taratraya. Mameva jay prabhadyante mayametam tarantite. Very happy to see all of you. I just flying, I was in Russia for their national festival for 4 days. They had 4,000 devotees. And they had a Nama Yagya last night. It was a Kadasi there last night. All night long they chanted. So I left them at about midnight, drove to the nearby town, caught the flight at 5:20 this morning and went to Vienna. From Vienna to Amsterdam, Amsterdam to Dulles, Washington. Dulles to here. Yeah, according to my watch, I didn't change it yet. It's 5:10 in the morning. But I lost one of my bags with my reading glasses. I'm very happy to be able to come via Potomac Temple. Share this little Bhagavad Gita class. This verse tells us about our prime duty, our prime objective, as human beings, is to get out of the illusion, to realize the truth. People are always pondering the questions, who are we, where do we come from, what is life, what is this universe? This type of questions. There's no clear answer. So it remains a mystery for most people. Usually people say, don't think about such questions, just work hard and go with the flow. On my way to Russia from India, I stopped in the Middle East. We have anybody here from Middle East? I mean, that was serving over there. Many times they migrate from there to America. You probably all came here directly from India. Those are from India. They're very loud. You got a door. And probably like here, I mean, people go there for economic development. They don't get as big a salaries as here, but expenses are less also. But somehow they find that Krishna conscious devotees, some of the people. And so we have some very developed congregation there. We have 2,000 to 3,000 people in most of the countries in that area who are chanting japa and attending satsang programs. They're very active. So I was telling that how you come for material development, but you got spiritual association. So you got the best of both worlds. And we hope it's like that here also, that devotees, people came with different degrees of spirituality. In America, this is the land for satisfying your needs, material needs at least, but this also, by Prabhupada's mercy, gave the opportunity to the Americans and to all the people who live here to take up Krishna consciousness, to follow the Bhagavad Gita. In America it says the pursuit of happiness is enshrined in the Constitution, but then how can you be happy if you're in illusion? So getting out of illusion is the real system for how to become happy. When we're in the material illusion, then we're going to have sukha dukkha da. Right? Nature of illusion, 1 minute you're happy, next minute you're sad. Just like the kids, 1 minute they'll be laughing, next minute somebody will be crying. And they'll be laughing again. Hopefully nothing serious to the crying about, just playing. So, that's the nature of this material illusion. The Prabhupada mentions that we're actually the spirit soul. We're the paraprakriti, we're the higher energy. And as a higher energy, we are meant for a higher happiness. But then someone may say, well, since we're the higher energy, then why we can't get out from this lower material energy? So we're very small. We're higher energy, but very small in size. And because this inferior energy is empowered by Krishna, it says daiva, daiviyesha, gunamayi. Being empowered, she's empowered to put us in illusion. And illusion is so good. It's so nicely made. That for all practical purposes, it looks pretty real. So just by our own efforts, if someone tries to figure out, it's very difficult. Even the rishis and they get bewildered sometimes by the material nature. Very difficult. One has to see through the eyes of the scripture. I have some disciples who are pilots or engineers of this big airline, Boeing 747s and so on. And they tell me that you had to learn, to get license, you had to learn how to fly without seeing. You had to fly only by instruments. Because your senses will mislead you. At those altitudes, at the varying pressures, you may think you're going left and you're going right. You may think you're going up, you're going down. Senses are adjusted for walking on the earth, not for 39,000 feet above sea level or 8,000 or whatever. So therefore you had to depend not on your senses but on the instruments. If the instrument says you're going up, you're going up. Well, whatever your ears are telling you, whatever your sense of balance is telling you, you have to watch the instrument. So, like that, when we go on spiritual life, we have to follow the Shastra. Even if our sentiment tells us something else, oh, this is a very good thing, we have to follow the Shastra. We have to learn to fly by the instrument, fly by the guidance given to us in the Sadhu, Shastra, and Guru. What people in the material world, there's good and there's bad. But material good and material bad, it's all material. There's a higher spiritual reality, and that we need to know. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came down to teach us Bhagavad Gita by his own example. He's actually Krishna. But it says in Kali Yuga, Krishna comes in disguise. He doesn't come in a proclaimed way. He comes in a disguised way just to teach us and to bless us in a very intimate way. Previous Kali Yuga, they say Balaji, Venkateshwara, Srinivas Govinda, whose deity is now worshipped in Tirupati, Tirumala. He was the previous incarnation in the previous Kali Yuga. And this Kali Yuga, it's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. Because Krishna was just here in the previous Dwapara Yuga. After Krishna comes in Dwapara Yuga, then sometimes he comes again as his devotee. So Prabhupada said that Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita. So he told us how we should get out of this illusion. But sometimes we're not able to grasp it. How to apply this knowledge. So the Lord came again as a devotee to show by example, this is how you do it. So, Lord Chaitanya came and the first 24 years of his life he was in the house. He was living the grihastha life. It describes how he was in Chaitanya Bhagavat. He got married to Lakshmi Priya. He was a professor in the Sanskrit Tol. He had his own Toll or Academy of Sanskrit Learning. And his academy was considered to be the best in Navadvip. Initially, he was enjoying, the Lord Narayana came down from the spiritual world to enjoy Vidya Vilas. Just like Krishna came down to enjoy a cowherding with his devotees, exchanging. So the brahmanas, there's another rasa of learning. There's also some juice in that learning. Most of you probably are highly educated people. Something is there when you learn. Some kind of a culture is there about learning. And just as the cowherd boys, they have their culture. Well, the brahmanas, they have another culture. So the Lord comes in different species, in different varnas. He came as Ramchandra, the perfect Kshatriya. And Krishna, for his youth, he was as a Vaishya. Later, he also followed Kshatriya Dharma. So sometimes the Lord comes as a Brahmana. Vamana Dev, he came as Brahmana, but that was just for one day. He came and delivered Bali and that Brahmana Leela, Narayana Rishi is usually used as an example for Brahmanical. But Lord Chaitanya, he was showing in a very simple, beautiful way. So first, maybe 19 years, he was as a pundit, following his Brahmanical values and having devotional pastime with his devotee, but not very devotional, not more brahminical. After he got initiated 500 years ago, this is the 500th anniversary of Lord Chaitanya's initiation, then he really changed. And he became fully devotional. It was an amazing change. Before that, he was known as Nimai Pandit. And he was the greatest pandit in Navadvip. Just as a young boy, as a teenager, he already knew, once he would read it, because he's the Lord, he doesn't have to study, you know. He just read Bhagavad Gita once, he knew it by heart. He'd read Srimad Bhagavatam, he'd read all the Purana, he knew all the books by heart. He went through the exercise of looking, reading it. Without reading, he could have known by heart also, but because he's the one who wrote them all. But just like that, he's playing that Leela, he said, read it and know it by heart. You know anyone who can read Bhagavad Gita and recite it by heart? One time read it. We're reading it hundreds and thousands of times, but little children, so they can learn faster some chapters of Bhagavad Gita. Not only did he memorize it, but he knew exactly everything it meant. So he would go up to the other pundits, because he was very young. They were older than him. So he'd approach them very humbly, "My dear Panditji, I want to ask you a question. I want to learn from you. You're a very elderly, wise Brahmin." Then he would pick out some questions from Bhagavad Gita and ask them. This verse says that we can. Then he'd make some question, whatever the question might be. Could you explain this? One time he came up to he would ask a question. They give some answer. Once he asks a devotee, tell me, what is the meaning of liberation? I want to know. What is moksha? He asked the Gadadhar. And Gadadhar said, well, moksha means to the end all the suffering. But then Lord Chaitanya, the Nimai Pandit, he is an expert at debating. Then he would say, well, that's interesting, but doesn't seem to be complete answer. Then he would defeat the argument. Then after defeating the argument, then he would reestablish it, then defeat it, then bring up some other point, you know. He would play with the debate, each time quoting so many scriptures. That was his Vidya Vilas. So all the Brahmanas and the Navadip, they were afraid to see him. If Nimai Pandit caught you on the street and he very humbly asks you some question, you'll be finished. Nobody can speak anything before him. He knows all the Shastras by heart. He knows all the... He's not only Chaturvedi, he's Samastavedi. Four Vedas, Purana, the Pancham Vedi, he knows all the... So pretty soon, when any Pandit would see him, they might be double his age, triple his age, they'll be very respectful. People just bow down to him on the street. People come up and the merchants would offer him garlands. Somebody's car is calling. Not mine. Don't have one. So, he go around as a humble brahmana. People would give him clothes, scents. So that was his childhood pastime, his youthful pastime. He'd get up in the morning, do his morning duties, say his Gayatri, do his puja, go either to the side of the Ganges or to some Sanjay Mukunda's house, sit there with his students, and for 6 hours he would teach them Shastra. After the 6 hours, they'd go to the Ganges and take bath. This is in the pastime of Lord Chaitanya. Ganges got more mercy than Kalindi, than Jamuna. Krishna gave Jamuna the mercy. But Ganga got the mercy with Lord Chaitanya. Every day he was bathing. Then he'd go home, take his meal, little rest. His wife Lakshmi was massaging his feet. Then he'd get up, and again in the afternoon he'd go back to the Ganges side, and there he would be surrounded by students. One ring, two ring, three ring, four ring, so many students. So all the students were hearing him giving explanation. Maybe every day there was about 10 to 12 hours of Shastra class. But everyone knew, if you stayed 1 year in Nimai Pandit's toll, you would become learned in all the Shastra, you could defeat any other Pandit. So pretty soon all the best students joined his, he got all the best students with him, thousands. He's very tall, very beautiful, most beautiful. So I said one time there was this Keshav Kashmiri. He was a Digvijay Pandit. He had been worshipping Saraswati, and he pleased Saraswati Devi, who said that, okay, you will not be defeated by anyone. Everyone in the three worlds you can defeat as a Pandit. So everywhere he went, he was like that, so fluid with the scripture. He was defeating. So like now, in America, of course, you see they have these big wrestlers and boxers, and some of them claim, I am the greatest. This kind of sports things are very prominent here. Who is the best tennis player? Who's the best boxer? Who's the best this, that? Golf player, people claiming to be the greatest sometimes. So, but in India, amongst the Brahmanas, there was this culture, who had the greatest learning. There would be debates, And the people, that was the thing. So this, to be a Digvijay, mean in all the directions, everyone you can defeat. They go with a Jaipatra. They bring a letter, every pandit they defeat, they had to sign there, you got everybody's names to prove that I'm the better than all these other pandits. And then people, because they would honor them, because they're great pandits, they would give them gold and they become very wealthy, famous. That was their pratishtha, being the greatest pandit. It wasn't devotional. It was about learning, about knowledge. But then, that's in a mode of goodness to some, little mixed with passion, but... So this Digvijay Pandit, he got the blessing of the goddess of learning, Saraswati, so he was defeating everyone. Jai Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman, Gaur Nithai. What's the main deity? Radha Madana Mohana Ki. So he heard that Navadvip was the greatest center of learning. So he went there to challenge the Navadvip Pandits. There's a whole city of Pandits. Navadvip was based on learning. So he's going to defeat everyone. So he came riding in on an elephant with a band, proclaimed, I challenge all the Pandits of Navadvip who can defeat me in learning. Otherwise you'll sign my Jaipatra and surrender to me. So all the Pandits were like worried what to do. If we get defeated, he's blessed by Saraswati, then the honor of Navadvip will be diminished. This guy will take all the honor. So they don't know what to do. They went and told, some told Nimai Pandit about, he was thinking, Lord Chaitanya was thinking that Supreme Lord doesn't like people to be too proud. He's going, he's so proud. It's not good for a pandit to be so proud. Should have learning and it should be have also very good qualities. But he's like, he's going like, I'm the greatest, you know, like a boxer, but with knowledge. Hitting people over the head with his... So he's thinking, anyway, he's a very learned person and he's a good person. Saraswati is a form of Lakshmi, so she gave him my... Consort gave him some blessing. How can I humble him without destroying him? If someone who is so proud, if he gets totally publicly smashed, then he'll like be worse than death. So he was thinking how to give the mercy to this Kashmiri Pandit. So it just so happened by the Lord's arrangement, that when he was in the evening sitting by the Ganges with his thousands of pupils, that this Keshav Kashmiri came and just saw. So who is this pandit? Is Lord Chaitanya golden color? He's 7 feet tall. He's teaching the scripture very beautifully. It was very attractive. So he asked somebody, who is this? Oh, he's the famous Nimai Pandit. Then Nimai saw that Keshav Kashmiri is there. He said, oh, come here, Panditji, sit down, please. Gave him a very honorable seat. Well, welcome. We heard so much about you, the great Digvijay. You see, we're here seated by the Ganges and we wanted to learn something from you. If you could tell us a few verses in glory of the Ganges so we can learn something about the glories of the Ganges, the Ganga. Because you are a great pandit, so you'll know everything about Ganga. So then Keshav Kashmir, Digvijay Pandit, blessed by Saraswati, started to compose Sanskrit poetry in glory of the Ganges. 100 verses. one after another, just as just, you know how to make one poetry, you have to sit and you have to really apply. He's just saying it like a cannon, like a thunder going out. Deep voice, beautiful presentation, one verse after another, all according to Shastra, beautiful original poetry glorifying the Ganges. Even the people can't understand some of the verses he's saying. 3 hours non-stop he's creating poetry on the Ganges. And then after, Nimai Pandit, he said, well, that's very beautiful. So some of your verses, could you tell us some of the good points and some of the bad points about your verses? And maybe you're the only one who can explain some of the contradictions that you mentioned. So could you please explain, because we're not able to understand some of the things. So the Pandit said, what contradiction? Everything I said was correct. Nothing's bad in anything I said. So it's one thing to compose 100 verses, but as soon as he composed it, Lord Chaitanya memorized all the 100. From beginning to end, he knew the 100 by heart. Not only that, he analyzed all the verses. Then he pointed out, you see, verse number 55. You said Bhavani Bhartu. You said the something about, because Shiva took the water of Ganga on his head. So he used the word Bhavani Bhartu, but Bhavani means the wife of Bhava, who is Shiva. And Bhartu means husband. But if you say the wife of Shiva's husband, it's confusing. Because the double, it made me think that maybe she has two husbands, or what, it's like, like that. He picked out so many points that he didn't see it himself. And he found that there was 11 good points about this one verse. He just took one out. So there's 11 good points, how good metaphors, analogies, nice things. Then he found out 7 different kinds of defects. So the Pandit, then he's like, he lost, he couldn't speak. Sarasvati suddenly took away the blessing from him. And then the students started to laugh. Lord said, no, don't laugh. He's our honored guest here. Was very respectful. Then the Pandit went back and prayed to Sarasvati, how is it that you told me I will defeat everyone in the 3 worlds, but this Pandit just defeated me, this young boy. What does this mean? And then that night he lay down, and she came in a dream and said, you see, whatever knowledge I have, whatever power I have only from my husband Vishnu. And who that person that you talk to, you don't know it, but he's my husband. How I can... I cannot fight against him. I cannot go on your tongue and fight against my husband. Actually, the whole purpose of your learning now is fulfilled, because now the real thing is you're meeting the Supreme Lord face to face. He's come here in disguise as a Pandit just to give the mercy to the world. And you met him. You got the real blessing. You should go to him again and you should surrender to him and get his full blessings. And that will be the real basis of the real benefit of all the learning and all the blessing, whatever you got from me, to achieve the Supreme Lord. So the next day he went and surrendered to Lord Chaitanya and said that Sarasvati told me who you are. And then Lord Chaitanya said, well, There was no one there. He said, whatever she said was true, but you don't tell it to anybody, because it'll disturb my purpose for coming here to be in disguise. So on his own, he couldn't see. Saul, Lord, he couldn't see that this is supreme. I couldn't understand how I'm being defeated by this person. But like his guru, Saraswati gave him the guidance. Jai Radha, Madana Mohana, Sitaram, Lakshman, Hanuman, Gorni Thai Ki. We also can't see the truth. About the absolute truth without guidance of Guru, without revelation of the Lord. If he wants to disguise himself, nobody can know who he is. They do think he's a great person or something, somehow they'll be bewildered. Just like Krishna kept himself hidden from his devotees. In the beginning, before he lifted the Govardhan Hill, nobody could understand how all these demons are dying in Vrindavan. Next month, Damodar month, all the little boys were telling the crowd, yeah, there's two celestial beings came and out of the two trees that the Damodar pulled down, and they came and circumambulated and they paid obeyed and they went, flew up into the heavenly planets. And these kids have so much imagination. But that's actually what happened. When the Lord comes and does His deela, He doesn't show who He is. So, but Krishna, He didn't hide it too much. But even then, it was somewhat hidden from the adults. But Lord Chaitanya completely hid Himself, but for one or two people He revealed, then told them, don't tell anyone else. So then the Keshe told the Saraswati told Keshe Kamini, now you'll be a humble devotee. You'll do Vairagya Vidya. So he gave away his elephants, gave away in charity, took up to chanting Hare Krishna. Instead of going around challenging everybody and debating and getting people to say, now he became a devotee. So that was the real perfection. So we get into this different kind of illusion. We want to be the greatest in the material world. We want to achieve so many things. But when we leave the world, we can't take anything with us. You can be the biggest pundit or the biggest boxer or the biggest, but next birth you start all over, a little baby. You don't take it with you. If you could transfer your bank balance to the next birth, there would be no inheritances, right? Or very little. But that's not... like whatever we do for Krishna in this life, credit goes with us. Our charitable spiritual activity, that goes in our bank account. I can't see the clock. Was
9:05.
So how much longer do you want me to go on? Once Keshav Kashmini realized that he was defeated by the Supreme Lord, and he had that blessing, he got a change of heart. He realized that what all the things I've been doing were just waste of time. Trying to be the greatest pundit, he's going, I got the greatest blessing. people, they don't get that opportunity to see the Lord face to face, to talk with the Lord. Here the Lord had come down onto this dimension in disguise, covering himself with his yoga maya. So Lord Chaitanya went to East Bengal, to Bangladesh, now it's called Bangladesh, East Bengal, and he was teaching people there for some months. And his wife couldn't bear the separation, so she left the world. So when Nimai came back, his mother was all distraught because her beloved daughter-in-law had left. And things. It says that this Lakshmi Priya, first wife, is actually the Chayasita. In the Ram Lila, Vedavati, who became the Chayasita that took all the torturing from Ravana, she had a blessing from Lakshmi that you can become the co-wife with Narayan because you suffered so much from me. But Ram said, I won't take another wife because I only have one wife and that's you. But when I come in Kali Yuga in disguise, then she can be my wife for some time. So that Balaji, the Vedavati, came as Padmavati, and that whole pastime, I don't know anybody here if you know the Balaji Leela, how he married Padmavati. She had to borrow money from Kuver. That's why everybody goes and puts donations in the hundi. Over a crore of rupees a day, it goes in the hundi. Richest temple in India so far, I think. So she's that Padmavati is the Vedavati. They tell all the leelas there. So in Chaitanya's pastimes, it describes that the first wife, Lakshmi Priya, is the Vedavati. There's a connection. Every Kali Yuga, Lord comes, so she came and she was married to the Lord. She was serving him. She's the Chayasita. And when he came back and she was gone, you know, mother won't let a young son be without wife for too long. So after some respectful time, she arranged that he should marry again. This time to Vishnu Priya. Vishnu Priya is actually the real Sita. She's fully Lakshmi. So in the Chaitanya Bhagavad, there's an elaborate description that when it was arranged that they get married, then one rich man called Budhimanta Khan, he said, I want to pay for the whole wedding. This won't be the ordinary poor pandit wedding. Pandits are learning, but they don't have so much money. I want this to be the wedding of all weddings. Mother of weddings. So he organized, he bankrolled the whole thing. And he gives elaborate description of how for the Adivas, the day before when they do the Abhishek of the husband, the groom and the bride separately, they had invited people come and observe this Vedic ritual and have a big feast. Everybody who came, they were giving gifts. Garland, sandalwood, betel nut, all the things the Brahmins like, prasadam. Some people were cheating, going in, coming back out, getting in the line again, getting second time. Then when that was seen, then Lord Chaitanya said, well, give people three of everything. Three garland, three time. Why they should cheat? So everyone's getting triple their need, plus anywhere there was already a huge quantity. So then nobody cheated anymore. There's more than what they could use. It says what fell, just a few things fell off on the side while they're serving out, one or two will fall, was five times more than a normal wedding. What fell? They followed all the rituals, that was for the Adiva. Then when they had the actual wedding day, then they organized this grand procession, first going to the Ganges, taking bath, and then carrying Lord Chaitanya in a palanquin with a crown. 10,000 people, brahmanas, chanting mantras, bands, dancers, musicians, poets. And then lakhs of people, like children dancing, jokers. I mean, it didn't look like a wedding of a pandit, but of a prince. That's what he said. I wanted to be like a prince standard. So Vrindavan Das Thakur, he's writing how all these people of Navadvip, they're not ordinary people. Brahma, Shiva, they all came down to be part of this pastime. Just as there was Sita Swayamvar, or there was Rukmini Krishna wedding. So when the Lord comes down, what would be complete without some really amazing wedding? So although he's coming in disguise, but somehow they managed to pull off some amazing pastimes. Very opulent. Because he's the king of the pandits in Navadvip. So as he's going around, everybody comes out and offers their respect. All the ladies that said they're praying that how fortunate the mother of Nimaya is. The men are thinking, you know, this Raj Pandit whose daughter Vishnupriya is marrying, he's a very fortunate guy. He gets to give his daughter to such a nice pandit, the best of all the pandits. I am not so fortunate. I couldn't give my daughter to him. I'm not so fortunate. Like this, it goes through all the different sentiments people are having. And then describes all this wedding ceremony. So, but all these people, they're all participating, throwing flowers when the Lord goes by. They're even coming from other planets in disguise. They're all having a good time. Those who know that who the Lord is, they were enjoying their pastime. And the others who didn't know specifically, but in their heart they felt so much transcendental bliss. In devotional service, when you serve the Lord, you feel bliss. Whether you know that He's Lord or you don't know He's Lord. So some people who hear these pastimes said in the future they will become also part of Lord Chaitanya's pastime. They can also take birth in some universe where his pastime are going on and participate. So we don't get so much access. We have Gita class and we have Bhagavatam class, but so we don't often have Chaitanya Charitamrita or Chaitanya Bhagavat class to know about all these pastimes. So many of our devotees don't know that how beautiful the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya were. This is Krishna has his Braja Leela. The Gaura Leela has got its own flavor. Of course, we know once he started the Sankirtan movement, then of course those things we know a little more about. But his childhood pastime were also facilitating many devotees to join and be part of the Lord's pastimes. So these things are described in Chaitanya Bhagavat Adi Leela. Before he started the Sankirtan preaching. So how many would like to participate in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes in some future birth?
Hariwa!
And how we like to participate in Krishna's pastimes. So this is the prime objective of life. That we can only achieve by devotional service. We chant Hare Krishna, we read, we do our devotional service, we associate with the devotees, and gradually we develop this taste. We develop this devotion for the Lord. And that brings us to participate in some universe where the Lord's pastimes are going on. So that's what Prabhupada is giving us, his mercy. So Prabhupada brought the science of Krishna consciousness over here. Lord Chaitanya, you see before, to be a devotee of Krishna, you had to really surrender to Krishna, had to be a very great personality, great devotee. But Lord Chaitanya, so mercy, he takes even his fallen souls, even some puffed up pundit, and he treats them very nice and turns them into a pure devotee. Whether a big learned pundit or whether a rascal like Jagai Madai, he would deliver all of them. Papi tapi jato chilo hari nama udarilo tar saki jagai madai re. Even someone's not qualified, he would also deliver them. That's the special mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So that's why there's hope for us in this Kali Yuga. Even though we may not have all the good qualities or may have so many defects, but Lord Chaitanya delivers even the most fallen of the fallen. And here in America, Prabhupada was singing Parama Karuna Pahudui Jana Nitai Gora Chandra, supremely merciful Gora Nitai, the Lords. They're so merciful. And that's why so many people here got inspired by Krishna consciousness because of the mercy of Lord Gauranga. So you're all highly pious people, most of you. All of you, as far as I can see. So you can take this mercy. It should be easily available to you. And achieve all the perfection in life. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare
Hare. Any question? Yes?
Does the Lord come only once in Kali Yuga?
Yeah. Well, he came as Buddha, partial incarnation. Then he came as Lord Chaitanya. This was, but because he's coming as a devotee, so it's not, it's written in Vedas, but not very clearly. Because if it's very clear, then it won't be secret. There are references in the Vedas. There's reference in the Vishnu Sahasranam, Hemangi, Golden Form. There's some verses in Purana say, "Come, 24 years as a grihastha, 24 years as sannyasi." Pastime of Lord Chaitanya connected with Krishna and Ram's pastime. Ram banished Sita to the forest. He said, when I come next time, in the future I come, I'll banish myself to the forest. So he banished himself to the forest as Lord Gauranga, took sannyas. Sita stayed at home. He went to the forest. Reciprocating. And so there's a form of Lord Chaitanya called Sharabhuj, six-handed form. Two hands as Lord Chaitanya, two hands as Krishna, two hands as Ram. It completes some of the loose ends of the previous pastimes. Any other questions? Yes, sir? What's your name?
Navakishwara.
Nabakishore Das, ever fresh Kishore.
Maharaj, you speak about how Krishna easily delivers a devotee. Sometimes as a devotee, it's so tough to get out of certain patterns that block us from transcendence. And that you say that Lord Chaitanya is very merciful and that Krishna is very merciful. So that it's very difficult to get out of a certain patterns in our life. And you talk about how Krishna easily delivers the devotee.
It's easy enough for Krishna to deliver us, but how to get some? It's hard for us sometimes to attract that mercy from Krishna. It's easier to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. He was more merciful. He's Krishna, but he's more merciful in his form. Because he's taken the mood of, like in Krishna's pastime, Radharani, Rukmini, they were. Rukmini was once chastising, not chastising, but challenging kind of, or questioning Krishna. That you know everything that's going on, you're the Lord of everything. But it seems there's one thing you don't understand. You don't know what we devotees feel for you in our heart. You're seeing everything from point of view of Lord. You're Prabhu, but what it's like to be your dasi, to be your devotee, how we feel for you, how when you leave us and go off to do something else, how we're put in, you don't know things from our perspective. So then Krishna took that, you know, that quite a challenge. That, and then Narada Muni in the same pastime told him that he was worrying about what's going to happen to all the fallen souls in Kali Yuga. So then Lord Krishna said, I'll come again in Kali Yuga, but this time I'll come as a devotee and I'll take the mood of my consort, Saramani, Radharani. And in this way I will know what it's like to be a devotee, and I'll deliver as a devotee, deliver the fallen soul, because she is in that mood of devotee, so devotees are more accessible. They're more merciful even than the Lord. Lord says, you want to surrender to me? I'll reciprocate with you. But most people in Kali Yuga are so fallen, who's surrendering to Krishna? So if he just reciprocates, we're not going to get too much mileage out of that. Because we're not surrendered enough to deserve very much. But the devotees, they go out of their way to tell people, surrender to Krishna. Take advantage of your valuable human form of life. So devotees are considered more merciful, more proactive. Krishna has to be neutral. Do what you like. I taught you Bhagavad Gita, now you do as you like, he told Arjuna. You don't want to fight, don't fight, but you'll be forced to fight. You're disgracious, all these things. If you fight, then you'll be victorious and so many other. So he gives him the choice. The Supreme Lord has to be more neutral. But devotee doesn't have to be neutral. So the Lord, when he came in the mood of devotee, so he could also promote, everyone should surrender to Krishna. Why are you wasting your time? Very interesting. So Lord Chaitanya goes out of his way to be merciful. It says that he didn't consider who's qualified or who's unqualified. You deserve it, you don't deserve it, you deserve it, you don't deserve it. He doesn't consider like that. He gives freely. You want to take it. But I'm not qualified. That's all right, you can have it anyway. That's mercy. How many want the mercy? How many want to wait until they're fully qualified to get the mercy? How many want to get it even a little advance? Even you're not maybe fully qualified, but still you'd like to get the mercy and become qualified. Anyone like that? So that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy on us. Yes, you have a question? What's your name? Suti Priya. Sutis. The Upanishads. So what's the question? No, but that's described in the Puranas, that people just like this Digvijay Pandit, we're supposed to learn Vedas really to understand Krishna. But some Pandits, they learn Vedas to show that they're the bigger Pandit. In the past was like that. I mean, now they become, you know, scientists or something. But in those days they were becoming big Pandits just to show off. So they missed the whole point. So that there was a point when people were doing all kinds of nonsense in the name of Vedas. Bod kuch kiya ved naam mein. Like ved anusar mein nahi. So they were doing sacrifices of animals every day. Like this is, Vedas say you can offer a goat to Kali on the Amavasya Rat, the dark moon night, new moon night. What they're doing every day. Even I heard in Indore that someone likes a chicken. So he made one chicken mandir. There's no devata that you can offer chicken to, so he created one false devata. And they do every day chicken bali. What benefit will this bring to anybody? If you don't follow Vedas? So many things are going on. So the Buddha is a partial incarnation, Shaktavish. He came to get those people who are not faithful to the Vedas, who are misusing the Vedas. He attracted them by his methods, his teachings of ahimsa, his meditation, his karma. So he got people to stop doing their sinful things in the name of Vedas. Then it was predicted that the people be brought back. So in order to purify the Vedic culture, take people out of it. And then Shankaracharya came, he's the incarnation of Shiva, to bring them back to Vedas. But Shankaracharya also taught the Mayavad. Mayavad and Buddhism is very similar, so it was easier to bring them back as a Mayavad. But so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings to bring people back from Mayavad to the Vaishnava Dharma. But we had to tell people what Lord Chaitanya's teachings are, people don't know. So most of the Hindus are still Mayavad. Only a smaller portion are Vaishnava. I'm the Vice President of World Hindu Federation. I just was at the meeting, World Executive Council meeting, and this year it was held in Malaysia. And I've been connected with them for 20 years, but in the beginning, there was practically no Vaishnavas to go to such meetings. All the discussion was